Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk leader.
Well, happy Friday to you. Happy Valentine's Day to you out there. Appreciate you listening. Mella was with me today. She is not my Valentine.
No.
But she's my good friend.
Yeah, that's good. Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for coming. You got any plans tonight with the hubby?
No. He did make a brisket, though. We had a brisket.
Oh, brisket. I love brisket.
Yeah.
Did he smoke it?
He did smoke it, and then for some reason, the smoker, like, turned off in the middle of it, so he brought it in the house in the middle of the night and put it for $2.25. So it had, like, the couple first hours of smoking.
Got smoking. It's all
right. So we'll see how it turns out. I think we'll have that tonight.
The for those that don't know, the brisket is an expensive cut of meat. If you can get it for $8 a pound, you're doing pretty good. Sometimes you can get it for $5 if it's on sale or whatever. But and then we're talking about 10 pounds usually for a small one.
So ours is 15. Is large.
Yeah.
But we buy my meat from my uncle who lives in Salem. So it's part of his cow. So he just cut the brisket for us.
And the brisket used to be, I don't know why I'm off on my smoking tangent, because I love to smoke, but I'm going to go off on the tangent anyway. Brisket used to be kind of almost a throwaway piece of meat because there's a lot of fat in the brisket, and until smoking came along. And then people in Texas said, hey, instead of throwing this piece of meat in, let's cook it extra long so that all that fat, they call it renders, all that fat basically melts into the meat.
Mm.
And they found out that when you make the fat render, melt it into the meat, it actually makes it really moist and delicious. And so the brisket is now the kind of the go-to meat for meat smokers, barbecuers nowadays. So
yeah, I'm very excited. It smelled like Thanksgiving almost in the morning, like with all the smoke and meat smell in your house.
Yeah. So I'm going to smoke something today, but not anything as grandiose as a brisket. I'm going to smoke some turkey tenderloin for a gathering we're having tonight at the house. So
that was our plan for the Super Bowl, but then we all got sick and hurt for the Super Bowl, so we just pushed it off. Valentine's, it works.
Valentine's Day is fun. In fact, coming up in the next little while on the show, we're going to talk about the history of Valentine's Day, why we celebrate it. We're going to talk about some of the most romantic movies of all time, as according to, I think this CNN or some big shot put out this list, some of the most romantic songs of all time. We've actually been running a little bit of a contest this morning from listeners. They've been texting in who what they think is one of the most romantic songs of all time. So we're going to talk about that and what I think is the most romantic song ever.
Okay, I'm excited to hear
fact,
that.
In fact, I'd like to hear Mello, her guest, on that later in the show. We'll talk about that. And I also found a graphic on, let's see if I can get to it. It is the most common breakup times per year based on Facebook breakup status. You know how you can put in a relationship or no longer in a relationship or whatever? They did a study and found out that the most common breakup times are, and Valentine's Day made the top 10 list. It's not number one, but it made the top 10 list of times of the year when people break up.
Really?
I was like, wow, like the most romantic. But I guess the theory is you break up on or before Valentine's Day, then you don't have to buy presents and stuff. I
bet that's true. If you really don't like somebody, you're not going to want to blow some money on them.
Yeah. So let's start off with a little bit talking about the history of Valentine's Day. This is from NBC News Radio.
The emperor thrived on war, but his people eventually grew weary and refused to fight. Married men in particular did their best to stay out of the army. When the emperor decreed that there would be no more marriages, a young Roman Catholic priest named Valentine started performing secret marriages. Claudius called Valentine's marriages acts of treason and had the priest put to death. Since then, Saint Valentine has been recognized as a martyr who sacrificed himself in the name of true love. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Isn't that sweet?
I had never heard that before. I really thought that Hallmark created Valentine's Day.
No, they promoted it because they can sell products. But Valentine's Day was, and that was in the 3rd century. Emperor Claudius I guess this Valentine guy, he was a priest, was marrying these couples secretly.
Mm-hmm.
He literally lost his head over it. They beheaded him. And Emperor Claudius, because these were the times, had his head put on a spike to display for all couples to know that if you're thinking about getting married, don't do it, because this is what happens to you and the priest if you get married. He also had the couples that he knew of that got married under Valentine also killed.
Wow, so they were head over heels for love.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, they lost their mind for sure. So that is not so romantic. I guess it's romantic in that he was doing it, but not so romantic in that what happened to him in the end.
That's crazy.
It's also the, obviously, anniversary of the St. Valentine's Day Massacre that happened in 1929 in Chicago when one gang member, Al Capone's gang, ambushed and killed 7 gang members of a rival gang. And that became the what's known as St. Valentine's Day Massacre. So we hopefully have more civilized times now. Hopefully nobody's killing anybody on Valentine's Day, and it's all about chocolate and flowers. And
but get your reservations this morning if you're going to take somebody out for dinner tonight.
Yeah, it's too late. Yeah, you blew it.
I think you still have time.
We're going to lunch, and then we're having people over at dinner time. So
that'll be nice.
Yeah, it'll be good. Although my sister told me I'm crazy for having people over on a romantic Valentine's night. I'm like, well, you can still be romantic just because people are there.
Right.
I don't know.
I think it's the over 50 crowd. It's okay. Maybe an under 50, it's not.
So I have a question to ask you, though, Mello, as a female. I need a female perspective. Flowers, candy, presents, does that stuff really work? Do you like that? I mean, we all like getting presents, don't get me wrong. But I mean, as far as a romance and love, does that stuff, is it effective for real?
I really love getting flowers. My husband that I'm married to right now does not do flowers very often. But like my ex-husband was very good at flowers, and it worked in his favor. I do like getting flowers.
Yeah, but he also cheated on you. So
he did.
The heck was that?
So he was pretty good at giving flowers to everybody. But maybe that was his MO. So
more,
yes, flowers
more
do
than
work.
Just flowers, yeah. I just want, you know, yesterday I drove over to my wife's work and dropped off some flowers and some chocolate. And of course, she was very happy and very gracious and stuff. And then afterwards, I'm like, I don't know. She's never really been into flowers much.
I don't know. I do like getting them at work, because then everybody that comes by your office sees that you have the flowers.
That's true.
And then you kind of like feel a little more special. So I do think that does work.
It's all about the show. Is that what you're saying?
It is. It helps. Like, you want to feel important and that somebody else thinks you're important.
By the way, Americans are forecasted to spend $27.5 billion on Valentine's Day this year.
What?
Billion. Dollars. $27.5 billion, which would be an all-time high. Last year, we spent $27.4 billion.
Really?
So, money flying out the door. I don't know. I think it's all scalable. We're incredibly frugal. Cheap would maybe be a better word for my wife and I, and we're never going to spend $200 on dinner. We're never going to, or 500 or whatever people spend. We're never going to hire a limo or, you know, that kind of expensive singing telegrams. So that's just not us. But, you know, I will buy her flowers occasionally or whatever. And so,
yeah, those small gestures mean a lot.
Okay, you want to go romantic movies next, or do you want to go breakup spots?
Breakup spots.
Okay. This is most common breakup times according to Facebook status updates. Okay. This has been compiled by the folks at Information is Beautiful, Dave McCandless and Lee Byron.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to throw a guess on the most common breakup time of the year. There are two of them that are kind of tied for the top.
I'd say before the holidays.
That is one of the two. You are correct.
Because you don't want to take somebody to meet your family if you really don't want to be with them.
Now, it has it listed as December. I always think of before the holidays, that before Thanksgiving, because you got Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Yeah.
But they actually have it listed as, they call it before the holidays in mid-December.
Okay, that makes sense.
So the other one is a different time of year, which kind of surprised me. I don't know if it's guys wanting to be frisky or what, but spring break.
Yeah, because they want to have freedom
on their
trip.
And apparently a lot of folks break up right before or at or around spring break. I did not know that. A couple, let's see, we'll go, I think they have the top 7 listed here. So those were 1 and 2. Number three was April Fool's Day, which then you don't know if you really broke up or not. Like, yeah, I'm breaking up with you. You call him the next day. I'm like, hey, let's go do something. I broke up with you. I thought that was an April Fool's. I don't know.
Right.
Let's see. Going off into summer out of school. So right at summertime, you know, the end of May, early June is in the top seven. Christmas, yes, on Christmas Day is in the top seven of days to break up during the year, according to Facebook.
That's really awful.
It is terrible. But ahead of that one and ahead of summer holidays is a day called Valentine's Day. Apparently, let's see, one, two, three, four, five. It's number five most common time when people break up is Valentine's Day.
Maybe that? It's because they didn't get what they thought they wanted for Valentine's. Like, they ignored the Valentine Day and didn't express their gratitude or love. And so they're like, well, fine, you don't even like me. I'm not going to go out with you.
It could be. I don't know the reasoning. I think it's kind of cruel if that's really the day you're going to break up, because that is the day when you think about love. And I don't know. Valentine's Day is up there. Other ones that aren't specific dates of the year but were on the list, birthdays. A lot of breakups on birthdays.
Wow.
Anniversaries, believe it or not. They say, yeah, we've made it this far and I'm not feeling it. See you later.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And let's see. Oh, they said the day of the week most likely to have a breakup, Mondays. Not a surprise, right?
No, that is a surprise.
Is it?
Because you'd think you'd want to break up like on a Thursday so you could make plans with somebody else for the weekend.
Well, I think it's the opposite. I think it's you had a weekend with that person and it didn't go so well.
Oh, that could work
so
too.
On Monday you're like, I think I'm out. So.
Gotcha.
Interesting. Again, one of my favorite sites out there, Information is Beautiful. I know we talked about it the other day, but I love that site. It has the weirdest, strangest, different graphs, but they vet their information. They go out and do the research. And awesome. I just love information is beautiful.net is their website. Okay, let's go romantic movies now. And for those of you who are not romantically attached right now, I apologize for spending time on this. But I was talking with Gary Sorensen during the previous show, the Morris Columbus Travel Show. And he says he's very unromantic, and it says his wife has said many times, man, I wish you were more romantic. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, they've been all over the most romantic places in the world, in Paris and, you know, in all these different Hawaii and all these different waterfalls and incredible places, and he's not romantic. I am the opposite. I'm too much.
Oh.
And so I think if his wife and my wife got together and could clone where we were somewhere in the middle between the two of us, I think we can get there. Working on it. Anyway, okay, most romantic movies of all time. And it's interesting, the number two on the list had the word hate in it.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you know, I was looking at the most popular romantic songs of all time. Almost all of them have the word love in the title. Almost all of them. But the movies, very few of them have the word love in the title. In fact, I think I have not come across, there's one. So one of the top 15 has the word love in the actual title. The rest of it is other stuff. So let's start at number 15. We'll see if either of us have seen it or any of our listeners have seen the movie. It's a movie called My Best Friend's Wedding. I have seen that, and I kind of like that movie.
Mm-hmm. Is that the one with Julia Roberts?
Julia Roberts and her best friend, who I think there was a little bit of, what do they call it, when friends who are really in love but they don't want to admit it? I don't know. Anyway,
I don't know what it's called.
Her best friend was marrying this other girl who was played by Gwyneth Paltrow, and Julia was the other woman. She never... But the movie was about her dealing with the feelings that she was getting with this guy that she's been really close buddies with all these years, marrying someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And the first half of the movie, she tries to sabotage her relationship.
Yeah.
One very funny scene, they go to a karaoke bar, and Julia knew that this girl, the Gwyneth Paltrow character, was a bad singer. And so her goal was, I'm going to show him how bad a singer she is and embarrass her. Well, anybody that goes to karaoke knows the only time karaoke is really fun is if, one, they're really good, or two, they're really bad. Mm-hmm. Everybody in the middle, like me, yeah, whatever. But all the ones that are really good and the ones that are really bad are the ones that are most entertaining. And Gwyneth Paltrow gets up there and absolutely just does a horrible job on a song. But the crowd loves it, and they get into it, and they help her sing it, and it backfires on Julia Roberts.
That's awesome.
So. She does end up, he does end up, spoiler alert, he does end up marrying Gwyneth Paltrow, and Julia is at the wedding alone, and her gay friend and her dance into the night and whatever.
There you go. So, there you go.
My Best Friend's Wedding, number 15. Number 14 is She's All That. I have not seen this movie. Have you?
She's All That. Who's in it?
She's All That. Zach Seiler? Freddie Prinze Jr., I guess, is the guy's, guy who plays Zach Seiler, and Jody Lynn O'Keefe is the romantic interest.
Mm-mm.
And I don't know that. Okay, Jerry Maguire, Show Me the Money movie.
That was a long time ago I watched that.
They're saying that's romantic guy.
That seems weird. Okay.
Much Ado About Nothing from 1993, starring, let's see, Emma Thompson and Kenneth Branagh?
Yeah, you're testing my memory. That's
okay.
A long time ago.
All right. How about Shakespeare in Love? Have you seen that one?
I think I have.
That's number 11. Number 10, Pretty Woman, another Julia Roberts movie. And
I love
think
that movie.
Just about everybody has seen that a few times, right? And kind of entertaining character in that is the assistant to Richard Gere, played by Jason Alexander, who was George Costanza on Seinfeld. He's actually pretty darn funny in that movie. Kind of controversial at times, but pretty funny in that movie. He also played the sidekick to Hal in Shallow Hal. And he had the, what they call, vestigial tail.
Yes, I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, and I think that was Gwyneth Paltrow, too, in there with Jack Black. Let's see, not Jack Black, is it?
It is Jack Black.
It is Jack Black, okay. Never Been Kissed is number 9 under most romantic movies. This is Deseret.com ranking these, by the way. While You Were Sleeping is number 8. That's Sandra Bullock and... let's see, Pete Gallagher and the other guy, Bill Pullman. I always get Bill Pullman and Bill Paxman mixed up, but this was Bill Pullman. And the premise of the movie was, so she was a subway token collector. I mean, yeah, boring job. She had dreams of, you know, meeting a cute guy and riding off into the sunset. Well, this, as it turns out, one of the guys that would drop off a token in her little booth every day was this really cute guy. And she didn't know anything about him. She just thought, oh, man, it'd be so cool to run away with this guy someday. And, well, he falls off the platform onto the subway tracks. And she's the first one to notice and go, and she saves his life. But when he fell, he hit his head, and he's in a coma. So she does kind of a naughty thing. She tells everybody that's her fiancé.
I do remember this now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so the whole time he's in a coma, she's, you know, she's pretending, and she meets the family and falls in love with the family, and they all love her and just think she's fantastic. And eventually he wakes up, and his memory's a little foggy, and she's like, yeah, don't you remember me? I'm your fiancé. And, of course, he doesn't, because that's not true. And eventually the real fiancé shows up, and in the meantime, she falls in love with the guy's brother, who's a much more down-to-earth guy. And anyway, you know, long story short, spoiler alert, the girl gets the guy, Bill and Sandra, right off into the sunset.
I don't think it's a spoiler alert if it's over 10 years old.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Number 7, Four Weddings and a Funeral. I saw this once many, I would say 25 years ago. I just remember Hugh Grant was in it, and Andy McDowell, who I had a little bit of a crush on back in the day, were the stars of that show, and they do become romantically entangled. I saw Hugh Grant. He was in, what was he? Oh, he was in that stupid Pop-Tart movie by Jerry Seinfeld. He played a union head of the Tony the Tiger or something.
Oh, really?
He was a nut job, and he's gotten old. Number 6, Sabrina. Yeah, anybody remember the movie Sabrina?
Like Sabrina the Teenage Witch?
Sabrina had harbored feelings for Dave, Greg Kinnear, and Julia Ormond. Following an extended stay in Paris, Sabrina returns as a fashionable and confident type of woman who can catch David's attention. The pair begin spending time together, but Linus, played by a young Harrison Ford, David's older brother disapproves of the relationship. In his efforts to split them up, Linus falls for Sabrina. So no, nothing to do with teenage witches or anything like that. But they have a picture of Harrison Ford in this, and I'm sure this was after Star Wars, but not too long after Star. Well, it was in the early 90s, so it was about 15 years after Star Wars, but he looked really young. Notting Hill, another Julia Roberts movie, is number 5. Sense and Sensibility, number 4. Clueless is number 3. Now, I haven't seen that one. Is that one?
Clueless?
I have not. Alicia, Alicia Silverstone.
Yeah.
Brittany Murphy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
I watched that a couple times.
I guess the love interest is Paul Rudd.
Yes.
I don't know that movie.
That was a cute movie.
This one, I haven't seen this movie either, but the name of it are 10 Things I Hate About You.
I did see that one.
Most romantic love movie, and there's a word hate in the title. I'm confused.
So yeah. I think I cried in that movie, actually.
Oh, no, you did.
It was very sweet. I do cry in movies, yes.
And then, okay, everybody's going to get on my case, and I'm going to have to turn in my man card for a while, but the number one most romantic movie happens to be one of my favorite movies of all time, too. It's a movie called You've Got Mail.
Oh, my goodness.
Tom Hanks, Meg Ryan. He owns a book company, a large book company, a franchise, and it ends up putting her little bookstore, little shop around the corner, as a matter of fact, out of business. In the meantime, they are, and this is a friend, You've Got Mail. This is back in a dial-up in AOL times and stuff. But, he ends up befriending her online. They're both anonymous at this point. She doesn't know it's Joe Fox from Fox Books that's putting her out of business, but they kind of fall in love via emails. Mm. And when they finally, so he introduces himself into her life after she goes out of business as Joe Fox, you know, and they strike up a friendship and really get along and everything. But they never actually get together until the end of the movie. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the movie, it was him the whole time. And it turns out that she's not mad at him for lying for months or whatever, or putting her out of business. And one of the lines from that movie is, it wasn't personal, it was business. And she's like, what does that even mean? Mm-hmm. It may not have been personal to you, but it was personal to me.
Yeah.
I love that line.
So. Yeah. I'm surprised that Ghost didn't make the cut.
Ghost was very romantic. Yeah.
I remember, I watched that in high school.
Patrick Swayze and Demi Moore and messing with the pottery kiln or whatever it is. And
the pottery wheel.
Yeah, I don't know. That was a little scary, too. Maybe the scary part. You know, when the little black things come and take you away if you're a bad guy.
Yeah, I don't know. I probably was on a date.
You probably covered your eyes during that part.
Not watching during that part.
Oh, happy Valentine's Day to everyone. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about some of the romantic songs out there. In fact, we'll even talk about what I believe to be the most romantic song of all time, bar none. You can argue with me. You can disagree. But I think this song may be the most romantic song of all time.
Ooh.
When we come back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back to the Andy Griffin Show, 9:35 on KDXU. I normally talk a lot of politics and stuff like that, but I just thought for fun, a little bit different. We talk a little bit about, Valentine's Day and romance, and Mello is relatively rookie as far as marriage. Relatively, because it's been 8, 9, 10 years, something like that.
9 years, but my first round was 19, so yeah, I'd hardly say I'm a newbie.
Well, new to this marriage that you're in and everything, I'm guessing it's a little bit of a challenge, and your husband is not a romantic.
Right.
So you have to do the romance stuff. You have to say, well, that's not us. That's
right.
He's good at other stuff.
He's
We're not slamming him at all.
No. He's a great dad. He's a great friend. He's funny. He's great. I love him.
We all have strengths and weaknesses. And, honestly, my a little bit over-the-top romanticism sometimes can be a burden to my wife. here we go again, whatever. So, you made a... And by the way, we're still taking... People want to vote in on what they think the most romantic song of all time is. We would love to hear from you. 467-5842 is my text line. 435-467-5842. Be convincing. When you send it in to me, maybe throw in a couple of words of why you think it's the most romantic song of all time. Because I already decided what I think is the most romantic song of all time.
Goodness.
But I can be convinced. You could change my mind if there's good reasoning behind it. Can you think of one or two just off the top of your head that you think are pretty romantic and awesome songs?
Well, there was one that was my song for many years with my ex-husband, and that was Shameless by Garth Brooks.
Oh, okay. Country music.
Billy Joel wrote that song.
Really?
Yeah.
Billy Joel wrote it. Garth Brooks made it popular.
Yes.
Huh.
Yeah. So that was one. But like then with my husband now, our song is This Is How We Roll by Florida Georgia Line. So that's his ringtone on my phone whenever he calls. So it just depends on the situation. And like I'm not really that into the songs and learning them and knowing them. So my ex-husband is the one that did that. And then the Florida Georgia Line, it just always reminded me of my husband.
By the way, you mentioned a movie that had been left out, Ghost.
Yes.
Roy texted in, how about The Notebook as being a romantic movie?
I have not watched that one.
Pretty romantic movie. Basically, it's an older couple. She has Alzheimer's and can't really remember stuff. So he's reading from her notebook, her journal, mm-hmm. about their past life. And I hope I don't get too many of the facts wrong, but about how they fell in love and eventually got together and how difficult it was. I mean, he went away to war and stuff.
Wow.
And while he was gone, he wrote her letters every day, and her mom would confiscate the letters before, so she never knew. She thought he didn't write for three years or whatever. It's actually a really romantic movie. So,
sweet.
As far as songs, we have a few suggestions out there. Roy said earlier today, any good Chicago song, and that made me think of "You're the Inspiration." Has to be one of their most romantic songs, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's pretty romantic. And then we got other suggestions out there. Oh,
what about Bryan Adams? "Everything I Do."
Okay,
I Do It
yeah.
for You.
The only problem I have with that song is those of us who were Bryan Adams Cuts Like a Knife fan back in the day. That was kind of almost, it felt like a sellout to me. Like, hey, write a romantic song for a movie, Brian. All his songs up to that point felt like it came from his heart and he was writing it because this is what he really felt. And then they said, hey, we got Robin Hood, write this song for this movie. And it's a good song, don't get me wrong. I just kind of felt like it wasn't, it wasn't as sincere as some of his other stuff.
What about Whitney Houston's "I Will Always Love You"?
"I Will Always Love You" made the list of the top 10 most romantic songs of all time. In fact, they made a list and they had one or two per decade. And these are also from suggestions from listeners. From the 60s, "Can't Help Falling in Love" with by mm-hmm. Elvis. Oh, I can't help. You know that one.
Mm-hmm.
And "Thinking About You" by, no, that's wrong year. What was the other 60s one? I lost it.
Go to the 70s.
Okay. 70s, there was only one in the 70s. It was "God Only Knows" by the Beach Boys. Anyway, let's see. 80s, that's when I grew up. Let's see. "I Want to Know What Love Is" by Foreigner.
Very okay, romantic I agree with that
song.
One.
Yeah. Let's see. I want to say this other. It must have been "Love" by Roxette. But I want to say the third one because that is the one I think is the most romantic song of all time. So we'll say that. In 90s, "I Will Always Love You." You mm-hmm. mentioned Whitney Houston. Little known fact about that. That was actually a Dolly Parton country hit mm-hmm. before mm-hmm. Whitney. And on the third verse of that song, in the Dolly version, she actually talks it instead of sings it.
Mm-hmm.
As if she's speaking. It was in the movie, the movie was called "The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas." It was actually a pretty good movie. Basically, she fell in love with one of the guys. And anyway, it was made a bigger hit. I never thought it would be big because it was a huge country hit, but it was made a bigger hit by Whitney Houston in 1992. I Will Always Love You. Let's see. Oh, we just got a text. The proposal. Okay. "See You in September" by The Happenings. All right. Getting a few texts in here from folks. I'm not familiar with "See You in September" by The Happenings. Are you, Mello?
No, I'm not. But we did get a call from Violet, and she said, "I'll Be Seeing You," which was a World War II song, was very romantic.
"I'll Be Seeing You in All the..." Yeah. I don't know the lyrics, but yeah, I know that song.
That's cool. I haven't heard that. I'll have to listen
very
to that.
Very cool. All right. Are you ready for... I've got two things I want to do here before the break. Number one, announce what I think is the most romantic song of all time. And it was redone once, maybe 10, 15 years ago, and it was not even close to as good as the original. And of course, when you're old, you say things like that because nothing could be as good as the original. But I believe the most romantic, best song for romance of all time was Endless Love by Lionel Richie and Diana Ross.
Okay.
And I've gotten a few texts, people saying, well, yeah, but I mean, this is more... I don't think so. How can you say anything would be more romantic than endless love, right?
Right.
I mean,
that's like, isn't that what y'all strive eternity, for? Right?
Yeah.
Endless.
Little backstory on that. Someone wrote it and picked those two to sing it. And they were both big stars at the time. This was in the early 80s. And they didn't like each other. Lionel Richie was kind of a more down-to-earth guy. Diana Ross was kind of a little bit flighty. She was into Michael Jackson and you know, that kind of stuff. And when he heard about they wanted him to sing it with Diana Ross, he's like, can we get someone else? And they said, no, you two have been specifically hand-chosen to sing this song. And so they got together one day and recorded it, and the rest is music history. Endless Love with Lionel Richie and Diana Ross. And I think, I hopefully am planning on playing it here. Let's see if I can get it to play. That ain't it. That's a commercial. Oh, I hate it when YouTube does that, right? Mm-hmm. I can only play 30 seconds, and we got to pay for it anyway, but I'm going to play the first few seconds of it.
My love, there's only you in my life.
That's Lionel, and then Diana's going to come in here in a minute. It's funny, if they didn't like each other, why didn't they just, I mean, power of magic of studio, you could sing, you could be in separate places and sing. But there's Diana.
Your every breath that I take.
Another song that was really popular about this time was a song called You Don't Bring Me Flowers by, so there were actually three versions of the song You Don't Bring Me Flowers. Mm-hmm. One was by Barbara Streisand.
Yes.
It was a hit in its own right. One was by Neil Diamond. It was a hit in its own right. Well, somebody said, hey, these songs are both popular, and boy, wouldn't it be cool if those two did a duet? At the time, they had never met Barbara and Neil Diamond.
Yes.
And so they actually, the guy, it was a DJ in, I think, L.A. or something, San Francisco. He cut the two pieces together on literally using scissors and audio tape.
Really?
Cut them together to make a duet of the two of them. When they heard it, and when fans heard it, they're like, this is amazing. So they actually got together, Neil Diamond and Barbara Streisand, and recorded a version of the two of them singing it as a duet.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's so interesting to know.
Cool. Yeah, kind of cool.
I do like that song by them.
Okay. We actually have to get a commercial break in. So when we come back, I will... Mello has asked me to do something that I don't know I've ever done on the show, and that's tell the romantic story of my wife and I getting together.
Yes.
From 30—well, we first met in 1985.
Aww.
So we'll talk about that right after this.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
This is a song called I Just Died in Your Arms Tonight by a group called The Cutting Crew. Way back in the 80s. This was our song, though, Mello. This is what Shelly and I fell in love to. Well, I mean, it was popular at the time. We're going to turn Cutting Crew off. As again, I have... I don't know if I've explained this to people, but I'm going to explain it now. So because we're a talk station, I'm like, we shouldn't have to fill out any kind of music forms. Because there's a couple of national music licensing companies. Basically... they want to make sure you're not playing music if you're a talk station. Or if you are playing music, they want to make sure that the artists get paid for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Understandable. Okay. So I have to sign it. Every 3 months, I have to sign it. And in the thing, I have to say that I did not play more than 30 seconds of any song during the course of my show. So if you hear me playing a song If I play it more than 30 seconds, we got to pay the piper. Now, it's not very much if you play one song because, you know, it's based on volume of songs and stuff. But still, I have to fill out this report. And so just now I played 27 seconds of I Just Died in Your Arms Tonight. I could actually now turn it back on and play another 27 seconds and not get in trouble because it's a different it's all at once, basically. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that song, anytime you hear me playing a song, though, you should know I there's a very, very, very good chance I'm playing 30 seconds or less.
Mm-hmm.
So now people know.
That's right. Stay on the good side.
Yeah. Don't want to get in trouble. Okay. So back in 1985, I was a missionary out in New Jersey. It was just after Christmas. It was like maybe January, and I had my missionary companion was sick. He had mononucleosis. How a missionary gets mono, I do not know, but he had mono. What they tell you to do with mono is you stay in bed for a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So as a missionary, I wanted to get out and do missionary stuff, but I was stuck in the apartment with this missionary.
Who was sick.
Who was very sick. So I decided, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a list of all the people that live in this area, and I'm going to start calling them. First, members of the church, and then after, just whoever. And so I called over to this Italian family that lived in the ward named the Loritos. And I called over there, and I said, hey, this is Elder Griffin from the church, and we'd like to come over and present a message to you. Now, it's going to be a couple weeks. I have a sick companion, but we'd like to come over and present a message to you. And a young girl answered the phone, and she said, well, I'll talk to my mom and if you'll hold on. So she went and talked to her mom. Her mom actually came and got on the phone, and we set up a dinner appointment over at the Loritos. And so about mid-February, we went over to their house and had dinner, and they had a 16-year-old girl named Shelley there.
Mm-hmm. And how old were you?
A missionary. I was 19.
Mm-hmm.
I was 19. I was about to turn 20. And you know, we hit it off with them. As a missionary, you don't really flirt with girls. You know, in my mind, it was just another family in the ward. But I did notice they had a cute girl, a cute daughter. So, you know, I mean, because I'm a guy and mm-hmm. even a missionary, you know, notice things. And, well, so about the same time my girlfriend had found out this is embarrassing to admit, she did not dear John me. She got pregnant from another guy. And I found out, so there was a girl that came out to be a nanny in this ward that I lived in, and she said, hey, I just saw your ex-girlfriend. And I'm like, oh, really? Because I haven't heard from her for a couple of months. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'd been out on mission 9 months or whatever. And she said, oh, I went to her wedding. I was like, what? That's how I found out. And then to add on to that, she goes, she kind of had to get married. She was pregnant. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I can't. So, you know, imagine being 2,000 miles from home and finding this out about your girlfriend. It was pretty heartbreaking. So we had set up a return appointment to go to the Loreto house and have dinner, and it happened to be on my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't tell anybody it was my birthday. I don't know how they found out it was my birthday. And how they found out my girlfriend had broke up with me, or whatever she did to me, I don't know. Anyway, we went over to their house, and they had put banners all over the living room, happy birthday, Elder Griffin, all this stuff. They had this daughter, the 16-year-old daughter, had made a teddy bear cake, because they called me Elder Bear.
Oh, that's cute.
And made a teddy bear cake for my birthday, and she had made homemade enchiladas for us.
Mm.
And so that was pretty cool. But I still had the second half of my mission to do. And so, you know, that was really neat. And we hit it off, and we had a nice time. And then I don't know that I saw her again for about a year. In the meantime, she'd gone to France on foreign exchange. And we wrote a little while she was in France. And right at the end of my mission, I got transferred into their stake.
Mm-hmm.
And it was state conference. And I saw her at state conference. And there's some dispute as to who said what to who,
mm-hmm.
but eventually it was arranged that I was going to pick her up at the airport in a few weeks because I was going home and she was going out to BYU for the summer semester.
Okay, so she was coming to Utah and you were going to pick her up when she came to
Utah.
Okay.
Yes. And I don't know if I said, hey, I'll come pick you up. Or if she said, hey, will you please, I don't know anybody, please pick me up. If you ask her, I asked. I was the one that brought it up. If you ask me, I think she was the one to ask. But we will never know. And because maybe we'll know in the next life. There will be like a rewind button. You go back to that moment and say, see, I told you. But anyway. And then that day I took her from the Salt Lake Airport down to Provo to drop her stuff off at her dorm at BYU. And then we went right from there out to Copperton Park where my family was having a barbecue. Mm-hmm. And she got to meet my grandma, my grandpa, my other grandma, and all my brothers and sisters and all their kids and my parents. And I did that to her on our very first first day together.
Yeah. You must have been really green from your mission.
I was stupid. Yeah. I mean, I'd been home 2.5 weeks, you know, when she came out. And you know what's funny is I decided right after my mission, like the next day after I got off, my mission got released, I decided I was going to date as many girls as I could in 2 weeks because I think I knew somewhere back in the back of my mind, I think I knew once Shelly came out that it was over.
That's so cute.
Yeah. Oh, anyway, and that was, it was 87, and we actually dated for over a year and got married in 88. So, and we've been married for 36 plus years now.
Well, that's so sweet.
So, we had two songs. The one I just played, I Just Died in Your Arms Tonight. The other one was, so we were both big Chicago fans, the band Chicago. Really liked listening to Chicago, and were saddened when, after Chicago 16, their lead singer, Peter Cetera, decided to go solo. We're like, oh, man, that breaking up, I thought, one of the most perfect bands of all time. And then his first song came out, and this is it right here. Now, legally, I'm not going to be able to play any more of this, but that song is called The Glory of Love by Peter Cetera, his first solo song, and it was a hit, and it was, we felt like, described our young romantic love perfectly.
That's so
sweet.
We
did it all for the glory of love. We came to find out later. Now, Glory of Love, the lyrics have stood the test of time. The other song that we were really into, Cutting Crews, I Just Died in Your Arms Tonight, as it turns out, and if you look up the lyrics, folks, if you want to, it's about a guy cheating on his girlfriend. I didn't know that at the time. I thought it was a romantic song back in the day. But then now you go back and listen, you're like, oh, he just, did he really? Yeah, he did, didn't he?
Yeah.
He's dying in the arms of an ex that instead of his girlfriend.
Is that because she killed him?
No.
Oh.
No, I Just Died is metaphorical. Metaphorical. So.
Okay.
Anyway, happy Valentine's Day today. Again, it's worth mentioning, you may or may not be able to get a reservation tonight. Mello, I don't know. I mean, you know,
I'm having brisket, so
yeah, you know, yeah, she's good. If you're into the really expensive restaurants for Valentine's, you want to take her someplace really special, you know, you're probably gonna have a hard time getting a reservation this late.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're, you know, the medium expensive places, you know, like a steak joint or something, you might be okay. Depending on what time you go. I mean, if you go at 4:30 or 5, you're probably good. If you go at 6:30 or 7, you might have trouble. And then if you want to eat something cheap and easy or go out to lunch or something, that's cool. I did get a text reminding me of a very, very good romantic song. Unchained Melody fit my teenage wife and I while I was in Vietnam.
Yes.
Great song.
I love
that song.
Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, the Righteous
yes.
Brothers.
Yes. That was also in Ghost, by the way.
It was. That's right. That's right. The other Righteous Brothers song was in Top Gun, right? And I can't remember the name of it right now, but I remember Tom Cruise trying to sing it. And he, for as many things as Tom Cruise is, one of them is not singer. He was terrible. So, yeah, I wish I had a few of his extra dollars he had laying around, though. So, final minute. I did want to mention President Trump is talking about, and when he talks about something, he usually does it, doing away with pennies. It actually costs more money to make a penny than a penny is worth. And I thought that was interesting. What, though, will that do then to our bill? Say if you get a bill for, you know, $5.74, are they going to round it up to 75? Or if you pay cash, are you going to get those pennies? I don't know the answer to that. I just know that.
But it's 3 cents to make a penny is what I thought I heard.
Yeah, and that's... You've lost that loving feeling. Thank you, Brad. Brad texted and said, you've lost that loving feeling. That was the other one. That was the one from Top Gun. Yeah, good song. So, Mello, we are out of time. We probably ought to go. But you have a great brisket.
Yes.
And a nice time with your hubby. And my wife and I will have some fun, too. Yep.
Happy Valentine's.
Happy Valentine's Day, everybody.